Our scripture this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray. Lord, open us up. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Open our hearts to feel. And then, oh God, open our hands to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tell me if this isn't familiar to you. You run into a friend at the grocery store and you stop for a brief second to greet one another. How are you? Your friend asks you. And you say, I've just been so busy. And you just start to list off a few things, you know, busy with work and kids' soccer games and basketball games, you know, all the things, so busy. And you go, well, how about you? How are you doing? And they say, oh, same, busy, busy. And then they start listing off a few things, you know, work and then travel for work and home renovations and kids' activities. And you nod and you go, well, you know, let's get together sometime. And sounds good, yes, let's. And then you look down at your phone and you see that you've missed 2 text messages. And you say, well, I gotta go, you know, I gotta finish shopping and then I gotta pick up a kid. And are you with me? Is this familiar? And it's true for kids too now, by the way. Kids are so busy. I was talking with a friend recently and she was telling me that she was trying to schedule a play date for her daughter, and she and the other mom went back and forth, and between the 2 kids and all their activities, it was nearly impossible to find a time. They finally found a 45-minute window to get together with the kids 3 weeks from now, right? The point is that busyness is our way of life. It's our way of life, and the implication here is that if you are busy, you're doing great. Your kids are doing great because, and here it is, the busier we are, the more valuable we are. The more worth we have as human beings because we are producing more. Busyness is how we measure worth. Successful people are busy people. And so we say yes to everything because in our can-do culture, the ability to do many things at high speeds is the mark of an effective person. And our technology today gives us even more opportunities to go faster and faster and do more and more. You know, sometimes I feel like Lucy and Ethel working on the assembly line wrapping candies. You remember that famous scene from I Love Lucy? I want us to watch the scene together. And as we do, I want you to think about how it captures our challenge today to do many things at a high speed. So let's watch.
All right, girls, now this is your last chance. If one piece of candy gets past you and into the packing room unwrapped, you're fired.
Yes, ma'am.
Let her roll!
Well, this is easier.
Yeah, we can handle this, okay?
Listen, Ethel, I think we're fighting a losing game.
man. You're doing splendidly. Speed it up a little.
What a hilarious scene, right? And yet, you know, it is sort of painful to watch, too. You know, we can feel their anxiety to keep up with more and more. They want to be successful, and so they try to hide the fact that they can't keep up. It's such an illustration of our modern life. I mean, can you relate to this? We have so much and may not be able to keep up with it all, and it may be taking a toll on us physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually, but we keep going and trying to do more and faster and faster. And the reality is the conveyor belt isn't going to slow down for us. It's not. You're doing great, the boss says. Speed it up. Our culture celebrates being able to do more and more faster and faster. And for a while now, spiritual leaders have been saying that the greatest spiritual problem of our time, the greatest spiritual problem of our time is busyness. Busyness. Some have pointed out that the Chinese character for being busy is made up of two elements, heart and killing. Heart and killing. Busyness kills the heart. That is a violent image. Busyness kills the heart. But Thomas Burton, the spiritual leader, he says that our overwork is a pervasive form of violence today. Here's what he says. He says, there is a pervasive form of contemporary violence, activism, and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything is to succumb to violence. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace. It destroys our own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes work fruitful. What he is saying is that busyness is causing harm to ourselves and our world. Busyness is preventing us from living as we were made to live as human beings, and we are human beings and not human doings. We were never created to work all the time, 24/7. I mean, let's start there with this biblical truth about the frenzied lives that we are leading. God does not want us to live like this. God does not want us to live like this. A little background. So Genesis 1, the first story of creation of the world. God created everything in 6 days. And we often think that, you know, God just got tired from all that creating work. And so God rested on the seventh day. But that's not actually what the scripture says. So here's how a close reading of the text reads. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished God's work. On the seventh day, God finished God's work. Creation wasn't complete until there was rest. There is work on the seventh day. The work is rest. Rest is a part of the work. The work isn't done until there is rest. Whoa, right? I mean, talk about a mind shift. Total mind shift. I mean, if we have a slow Saturday morning where we sit out on the back porch drinking coffee and watching the sun come up and we stay in our PJs until 10, what do we say? We say that we're being lazy, right? Isn't that what we say? What a lazy morning. But what the scripture says is that rest is a part of the work too. Resting is not being lazy. I mean it when I say we have to change our minds about this. We have to see that a day of rest is just as important as a day of work. Really, what we have to see is that we are valuable whether we are producing something or not. I have learned that our Jewish brothers and sisters have this beautiful ritual. So on Friday evenings, they begin their practice of Shabbat or Sabbath, by lighting two candles. So the first candle that they light is to remember how on the seventh day God rested. So that as they entered this period of rest, they remembered that they are made in the image of God, and just as God rested, so too shall they rest. And they light the second candle to remember the story from Exodus, how the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and how the Pharaoh, you know, forced them to work all the time. How as slaves they were seen as only having value by how much they produced. They remember how the people cried out to God, and then God sent Moses to set them free. And so they light the second candle to remember their freedom, as it says in Deuteronomy. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God freed you from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is a command. God commands the people to rest. It is one of the top 10 commandments, by the way. Like, it's on the same list as thou shalt not murder. Like, sometimes we think it's on a different, it's the same list. Same list. Anyway, so let's look at the text from Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. So that last part, God consecrated it. You may remember that in the creation story, after each day that God creates stuff, God says, it's good, right? It's good. And like after God makes human beings, God says, oh, very good, very good. But when God creates rest, God says, this is holy. This is holy. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The theologian Karl Barth, he said, a being is free only when it can determine and limit its activity. A being is only free when it can determine and limit its activity. So God set the people free, and by observing Sabbath, we accept the freedom God has given us to limit our activities, to say, no, no, I will not produce today. No, I will not earn today. No, I will not check my emails today. No, I will not check off items on my to-do list today. No. And we often think of Jesus as being someone who constantly gave himself for others, right? I mean, he was always healing people and teaching them, drawing big crowds and traveling from town to town. But sometimes he stepped away from it all. Sometimes he went away and rested. Sometimes he just sent people away, like in Matthew. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Sometimes Jesus just left the crowd and went off by himself, like from Luke. But so much, the more people report, went abroad concerning him, and great multitudes gathered to hear and to be healed of their infirmities, but he withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And sometimes Jesus just snuck off in the early morning. That evening, this is from Mark, at sundown, they brought him to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And in the morning, a great while before the day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him pursued him. I just love that. They pursued him. You know, you have to think Jesus was like, you know, I'm with you always, but like maybe not literally. Like sometimes I need a break, y'all. You know, seriously, just a little time to myself. But I love author Wayne Muller's insight about this. He wrote this powerful book called Sabbath. I'm drawing from it today. But here's what he says about Jesus. Jesus did not wait until everyone had been properly cared for, until all who sought him were healed. He did not ask permission to go, nor did he leave anyone behind on call, or even let his disciples know where he was going. Jesus obeyed a deeper rhythm. When the moment for rest had come, the time for healing was over, he would simply stop, retire to a quiet place, and pray. Jesus observed a different rhythm. We are meant for a different rhythm too. So what does this look like? I want to share a few ideas for how you and your family might start to observe Sabbath rest. First, just start small. Start small. While I hope that we can take one day out of seven for rest, I've learned that it's possible to experience Sabbath in the midst of every day with just some simple practices of saying no. So priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor, who's also written beautifully about the Sabbath, she rightly notes that when we say no to more in our lives, no to more in our lives, we are creating space in our lives to say yes to more God. She says, there is no saying yes to God without saying no to God's rivals. So here are some rivals that I have said no to. No to work email on my phone. I took work email off my phone over a year ago. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Yeah, because you still get an email back. You still get an email back. What I have found is that most emails don't need an immediate response, and there is such freedom in not checking my email all the time. I'm able to be more fully present to wherever I am in the moment. Along that same line, I said no to Facebook and no to Instagram on my phone at the start of the year. I do not miss it. Very simply, it's just given me back more time and attention. In the evenings when I come home, I say no to my computer. Adam and I, we make dinner together almost every night, and we say no to television until about 8:30 when we watch our one show. Together we say no to work on Friday afternoons and Saturday mornings. We walk the dogs or sit on the back porch or in a coffee shop. We bike ride or read or play Uno or have friends over for dinner, and we sit and visit for hours. It helps so much to have someone to help you to say no to more work. So I'm sharing these ideas just to give you some ideas for what you might say no to. Lord knows you have seen my struggle for Sabbath rest these past 3 years. My addiction throughout my life has been to work, and it is an addiction. And the thing about being a minister is you can rationalize it and you can say, I'm doing the Lord's work. No. No, the Lord does not want us to work 24/7. I went to England last year for 3 months to work on my dissertation, but also because I was so exhausted. I was so physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually spent and on the verge of burnout or collapse. It should not take a health scare to get us to rest, but that is often what it comes to. We are meant for a deeper rhythm than go, 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 collapse. We are meant for a deeper rhythm, a rhythm of rest. I will tell you that what I have learned is that my work is better when I put it down for a time. Rest is a part of the work. So rest, rest. As I've heard it said, take a day off of work, not because you are sick, but because you are well. Take your lunch break, taste your food, walk around the block, take a 20-minute nap. Create a Sabbath box. I think this is a great idea. Sabbath box where you can put your phone and your car keys and your iWatch, whatever you need to leave behind so that you can enter into Sabbath rest. Have a Sabbath meal with friends. Have friends over for dinner. Light 2 candles and say a prayer of thanks and delight in the conversation. Go for a hike, but hike in silence. You know, take those earphones out and listen to the birds chattering. Maybe take off your shoes and feel your feet on the ground and remember that you're a human being, not a human doing, and you're standing on holy ground. And when you start to feel your heart rate rise, that you should be doing something besides, you know, listening to the birds, when you start thinking, oh, I should be doing something productive, just say, the Lord loves me and thinks I am very good, whether I'm working or not. And the Lord wants, no, the Lord commands me to rest. I want to end with this line from Psalm 23. I invite you to say it together with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Let God lead you to rest. Let God restore your soul. So may it ever be. Amen.